Okay, welcome to the podcast. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. He's King at Jeromny. No Ski this week. Ski dealing with some personal stuff, so we're gonna forge ahead without him. Pretty big week, I guess, if you're a follower of Oregon football, as I would assume everybody listening to this is, unless like we got some like of our parents out there listening that who don't really care, but which is possible. So you know, last week we kind of speculated about a lot of stuff. You know, Lanning had been hired. We made fun of how he says program, which is now the way to say the word. But you know, nobody else had really been hired yet. And so this week, a lot of guys were hired. This week, they got a fairly high profile guy to say he wants to transfer here and play. And so I guess a lot to break down. Before we do that, I just want to say, so, you know, after we recorded last week, we recorded on a Tuesday, hopped on a flight the next day, or I guess it was the morning after the next day, and went down to the Bay Area to visit family. I went to a 49ers game. I went to the game against Atlanta, and I got to say, it was the most fun I've had at a sporting event. Like, so I was thinking about it, like, I hadn't been, because I covered Oregon, so like I hadn't been to a football game as a fan, and I had to have a buddy remind me, because we went to this game together, since we saw Cal and Oregon at Levi's Stadium after they had opened Levi's Stadium. Like, remember they had that like random regular season game where Cal played Oregon at Levi's, and that was the last football game I'd been to as a fan.
The Gafiota Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It was absolutely crazy. And obviously it was super duper fun because Niners are actually playing right now as we're recording this. So I might be a little bit distracted. There might be portions of this where I say, hey, talk about Kenny Dillingham and just like zone off for 5 minutes. But like, yeah, their Niners are in a playoff race. And they, you know, got a pretty convincing win against Atlanta last week. And it was just so much fun. If you ever, I know we say this as people who don't live in big cities, but like, if you ever have an opportunity to go to a professional football game, just do it. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, even if you're in Jacksonville and it's like, hey, I have an opportunity. I got like, you know, $15 Jags tickets. You want to go to the Jags game with me? Say yes. I always say yes. Professional sports and professional football specifically is just fantastic in every way. And it's not something we get made available to us all the time. And so I was very excited. It was very fun.
Were those jackets you were wearing?
Yeah.
You and your daughter, were those new purchases or were those?
No, they were not.
Those were retro.
Those were handed down to me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, I think I had talked to you about them before, and I remember I need to correct myself because I think I said they weren't actually starter jackets. They are starter jackets.
They were starter.
They are starter jackets. They are for two. So I got the classic gold one, obviously. And I got a red one, and they are from like the late 80s, early 90s.
Sick.
Like, oh.
Sick.
It is nice. You know, I will say, because you walk around Levi Stadium, you see the fans wearing like the gold jackets to say like loyal to the Bay on the back or something like that. And you're like, you just fucking bought that last year. Like, no, mine has the old 49ers logo on it on the back. Ooh, it's so good. It's so nice to have like a legit reason to wear those too. those have been gathering dust in my closet for such a long time. Yeah. So like, it was, come on, defense.
AJ like Brown, get out of here.
I know. Niners defense gave up 55 yards in the first half total. And now they're, I don't know, floodgates are open.
But see, like that's why you got to keep.
So that was, that's why first. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, that was the first football game I had taken my daughter to as well. She had been to like a spring game a long time ago and she doesn't even remember it. But she was, you know, she doesn't care about sports really at all. So she was like kind of a pain in the ass in the first quarter. Like, I don't like the yelling. I don't care. But then I was like, I literally pulled her aside. And I was like, dude, like this, you have to make a choice here. You can either have fun with us I will fill you full of popcorn and candy and we'll just have a blast. You can have fun, or you can just sit here and be miserable by yourself the whole time while I jump up and down and yell shit the whole game. It's totally up to you. And so like after the end of the first quarter on, she was great. Like cheering, like doing the defense chants, like getting up and yelling, slapping hands with random people around you when the 49ers score a touchdown. It was great. She still doesn't care about sports, but I'll take it. It's like small victories.
Hey, it's better for the mental health to not care about sports.
Yes, totally. I'm not totally necessarily mad at her. At
right.
All.
Right.
No. By the way, never become a fan of the Ducks ever.
Yeah. Oh, you just want to you just like math and creative writing? Okay. Yeah. Pour your passion into that. Do not watch Bo Nix on Saturdays.
I will spend all of my money on all of the things you need to support your art habit.
Yes. Yeah, oh, you like the saxophone? Okay.
Yeah, right. It's a saxophone. You want to play violin? Sure.
Right.
No, maybe not that one. Maybe not that one. I don't have $100,000 laying around. Nice transition into Bo Nix. So that is something we should, I guess, might as well start there. So Bo Nix transferring from Auburn. I think the initial reaction among Oregon Twitter and Oregon fandom was pretty much the same when it happened. And then most people kind of splintered off into the ultra negative side of things, I think.
Because
it was like Bo Nix, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Oregon has like 2 4-star quarterbacks and 1 5-star quarterback. Why would he come here? They're all freshmen, by the way. And then most people kind of went to the side of, fuck Bo Nix. Don't come here. You're messing up my narrative that Ty Thompson's going to be the starting quarterback next year. What are you doing, you asshole? And meanwhile, Bo Nix is just like, hey, I got a cool opportunity to play with my old offensive coordinator. And I'm like, woohoo. So my perspective here is I'm failing to see how this could possibly be conceived as a negative. Like it's so Bo Nix is not great. He is exceedingly average.
Yes.
But also he was the best dual threat quarterback recruit in the country in 2019. He's a 5-star quarterback recruit. Obviously they don't all work out. Oregon has seen that high ranked recruits don't always work out. But he's going to come into the room and he's going to like push the freshman at the very least. If he doesn't end up being the starter, he's at the very least going to push Ty Thompson to be better. But isn't that a good thing? Ty Thompson on Twitter said he's coming back.
10 feet. Yeah, 10 toes in the ground.
10 toes
whatever.
To the ground.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. You're on Twitter more than me. What are people saying? I don't get it.
Oh, well, Oregon Twitter is toxic, man. It's so bad.
No. Perfect introduction for Bo Nix into Oregon Twitter.
Yes, if
the toxicity. Yeah.
If Bo Nix thought Auburn Twitter was wild, well, he's in for something else because Oregon Twitter has been exceedingly dark, really, this whole year.
And last
even
year
when
too.
They were 9-1, it was like I hate everything.
Last year,
burn
too.
It all down.
It really
last
it
year
really,
though we were in a pandemic,
but I'll say that
well, we still are. But
the toxicity really started with Shuck.
Yes,
I mean,
and
I mean,
it's not yeah, ended
it's
at all.
Bad. It's bad.
It's bad.
So I mean, so yeah.
Well, just you know, the factions of Oregon Twitter are fascinating. If you want to hitch your wagon to Ty Thompson, got it. You know. 5-star, depending on what service you looked at. Cool. But there are people who are like, oh yeah, Robbie Ashford, he's the guy, passionately banging that bell. And it's like, he hasn't played.
No, he's never played.
He wasn't dressing at the end. And maybe it was an injury. You know, who knows? It's Mario. He could have had leukemia and we don't know, you know, but he wasn't dressing. He wasn't traveling. Maybe don't hit your wagon to a 4-string guy. That's all I'm saying.
It is really interesting. Like I know we have seen freshmen play really well here in the past, like redshirt freshmen especially. Marcus Mariota. But they're not all going to be like that. You have no idea about how a kid is going to play until he actually steps on the field. Like we've seen this. I don't know how many examples of that we need before Oregon fans are going to actually like pay attention.
Oh boy.
Don't give me an oh boy.
Oh boy.
Uh-oh. Don't give me an oh boy. Are you ahead of me? How are you ahead of me?
Am I ahead of you for the first time ever?
You might be. I'm watching Hulu has live sports. So,
okay. Well, what I would say is
Jimmy throw an interception.
He has that one throw every week.
Oh, fuck. That's two. God damn it, Jimmy.
Have you seen it yet?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe that. Well, it did look as bad on that angle.
He has been really, really good today with the exception of four throws. One of them should have been picked. Two of them have been picked. And then he had, Juszczyk up the sideline completely uncovered and overthrew.
A Juszczyk throw was rough.
Jesus, yeah,
Jimmy. That one was rough.
Ugh, it's not a good throw.
But Trey Lance, start the game. Go Bison.
You know what? You know, I saw like a Mina Kimes tweet earlier about this specific thing. She's like, you know, a Jimmy Garoppolo interception is coming when people are building him up. And it's like reading the tea leaves or whatever. It's the change of the winds. If people are talking about how good Jimmy Garoppolo is, he's going to be bad Jimmy, they call it. This is a perfect time for bad Jimmy to show up, right? When they can essentially clinch a playoff berth here. Not literally.
and give my Chiefs a little breathing room at the number one seed.
Right, exactly.
Let's go Niners.
Right.
Yay area.
Yeah, this is a...
Loyal to the soil.
Yeah, this is a Niners podcast, clearly. But, I forget what we're talking about.
Bo Nix. I get it why people are soured on it. I've had many a Bo Nix jokes throughout the years.
Of course.
But his ceiling is... Because Oregon fans are scarred. Prukop and then Anthony Brown. Okay, I get it. I do get it.
Yeah.
But you can't... I am not saying Bo Nix is... you know, all-star, you know, all-league, first team. I'm not saying that. His ceiling is way higher than those two, though.
Yeah.
If you just watch his – like, he's going to make backyard provided he's the starter, you know. He's going to make these wild-ass plays that Anthony Brown and Dakota Prukop could never make.
Right.
Granted, he's going to make those on the bad end, too.
It's so fucked up that you're putting Brown in the same area as Prukop.
But did Brown and Prukop ever have a single play in their, you know, year at Oregon where it was like off script and they just
no. Well,
no. Well, for a good
No, play. I guess not. I was thinking about that like rollout deep pass to Devin Williams a few weeks ago, but no, that was like a designed rollout.
Yeah. So, when a designed rollout is your creative,
He does have like Mahomes in him, like in that way. I'm not saying he's even.
No, no, no. Yeah, Mahomes. I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like,
yeah, the rollout, gambling, wait, gunslinger, then just throw the ball up.
And
which is fun and infuriating at the same time.
And again,
who throws it?
Neither of us are, you know, leading the Bo Nix ship by
fucking
any chance.
Play defense. Sorry,
but he. But even when Gus was driving the Auburn bus, when the Gus bus was in the plains,
right.
It was well known that Gus Malzahn did not care at all about the offensive line. He did not give a single – he was taking two stars and just being like, okay, like let's roll.
Yeah.
So if we are to believe that Mario Cristobal and Alex Mirabal, you know – recruited and developed decently, he's at a better space right there, right off the bat.
Right now, at the moment.
And depending
on how, like, whatever offensive line coach that Lanning brings in, depending on how he recruits.
And he's not going into Tuscaloosa, Baton Rouge, Gainesville. He's not throwing into the teeth of an SEC defense if he gets the job. And again, we're not here to drive the Bo Nix, you know, wagon. That's not our deal. But it's not as disastrous as some people.
I don't get how it's a disaster at all.
I've seen people be like, 4-8 now. Yep, 4-8. Playing Georgia. Okay, Oregon's going to lose to Georgia. It's 16 feet from their campus.
Most people are going to lose to Georgia.
Yes.
What's your point?
Georgia's really good. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. They're really good.
There's a reason you just got your head coach from there.
Yeah, starting 0-1. Okay. Yeah. Now, if they couple that up and lose to Eastern Washington and BYU.
Yeah, BYU.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. But
Vernon Adams and Cooper Kupp aren't walking through that door at Eastern Washington. I'm less worried about them. Yeah.
Yes. Eastern is good, but they're not what they were. They're not what they were.
Yeah.
I don't know. Jokes aside, I think it's fine.
Yeah. No, it is. I don't see how it's possibly a problem. Adding more talent to your quarterback room. I mean,
Butterfield
walks or whatever. Okay. Butterfield.
I know, right? Yeah. Okay. Whatever.
You still got Ashford. You still got Ty Thompson. You're fine.
People being okay with three redshirt freshmen walking into is that being your room as a quarterback?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just not great. It's not great.
Not super excited about that. Especially seeing the inconsistency when he did play last year, Ty Thompson. So,
yeah, I think it's fine. I think it's okay. If he doesn't start, that means presumably Ty Thompson showed up to his, borderline five-star level.
There's a reason. Good for him. Reason he didn't play this year. And it's not.
I mean,
It's not that Anthony Brown was excelling, obviously.
No. And as much as we bang on Aaron Fentress, because he's a wet noodle.
Yeah, the worst.
Yeah, right he's now. The worst. Right. Yeah, now. Yeah, it's like sucking on a lemon.
Yeah.
Through an exhaust pipe with bleach coming out. His source is all year from August on or whatever. Ty Thompson's not ready. It's fine.
Okay.
You want to know what? No,
he's like an 18-year-old kid, man.
They're not Trevor Lawrence. They're not. Yeah. They're not winning a national title as a true freshman.
All right. So speaking of the offense, so Kenny Dillingham is the official offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. I think he's 31 years old, right?
Which, yes. Crazy.
I gotta say, out of all the hires, this one excites me the least.
It doesn't.
You're like offensive coordinator previously at Florida State, Auburn, Memphis. They were 83rd in the country in yards per game last year. I realize he had Jordan Travis and Mackenzie Milton or whatever at quarterback. And he was just kind of their personnel was kind of a mess at Florida State, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, like that and the D. Matrice Martin hire, whatever, Coach Meat. I will never call a coach.
Never gonna call a grown man Meat.
Yes.
Not gonna happen.
I'm not calling him Meat. I don't care what his Twitter handle is. Happen. And it is. I'm not calling him Mr. Meat. I'm Mr. Meat in this house, Buster. But
my father is Mr. Meat.
Yeah, yes. His level of coach isn't the same as Dillingham, but those are the two where I'm like,
I mean, I guess. Yeah.
You walk into a living room and on the recruiting trail and be like, I'm Mr. Meat. Can I talk to your mom? Yeah, maybe you win some.
Yeah. Why don't you go out in the porch and I'll send her out. Yeah.
Mr. Meat. See
how that goes, Mr. Meat.
And he just.
Well, that's the thing is everybody he hired so far. So there's a few guys now. There's Tony Tuioti, the defensive line coach from Nebraska. There's Matt Powledge, the co-DC from Baylor, and then Dillingham. All of those guys are apparently very, very good recruiters. And so it's. Like Dillingham or Lanning, I should say, understands what Cristobal understood. It is that it is an arms race. Yes, you got to develop guys. And, one would assume that these guys can develop guys a little bit. But putting five stars against three stars, the five stars are going to win most of the time. And so if he can continue to do that, keep the momentum that Cristobal had recruiting, and, you know, from all intents and purposes, it sounds like he probably will, then that's good. And those are, those seem to be the focus of the hires he's made. There's a first down, Jimmy. I need good Garoppolo.
Jimmy Glee.
God damn. Come on, man. 10-10 now. Like, the Niners were totally in control of this game.
Oh, they're going to win.
Stop it.
They're not playing at Lumen Field. Lumen Field. They got this.
I don't know what the hell Lumen Field is.
It's what Seattle's called now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Is that really a thing?
Yeah, Lumen Field.
All right.
I don't know what Lumen is, but I'm just going to assume it's like tights. It's gym aesthetics is what
I'm
saying.
Right.
It's either that or like multi-billionaire computer chips. There's no in between in Seattle.
Yeah, I assume it is lamps. It's a lamp manufacturing company.
It's lamps for athleisure.
Exactly that. Nothing but desk lamps and overhead lights. So I mentioned Matt Powledge from Baylor. He's going to be the co-DC. Also likely to coach special teams, it sounds like.
Apparently he's good at it.
He's apparently very good at that, which should make you feel better.
Couldn't be any worse.
Could not be worse.
Hey, Bobby Williams, I am so glad Mario looks at you as a mentor, because get the hell out.
Yes, please leave.
Leave.
Really glad.
I don't even want to see you in San Antonio. Leave.
Really, really glad he needs to bounce his ideas for clock management off you, Bobby Williams, and that you need to be in the room for all of that. So yeah, feel free. Follow him to Florida. Have fun. Enjoy yourself.
It's so funny thinking about Mario and Williams talking like clock and like time and space and yards to go as it pertains to like special teams.
I know.
They had no idea.
No clue whatsoever.
No clue.
They kind of give the ball to Deebo Samuel more, man.
Bobby Williams.
I haven't seen Deebo Samuel get the ball in too long. Sorry. I'm trying to focus. So he is co-DC. Why? Because the other co-DC is currently coaching in the National Football League from everything we're hearing. It is going to be Tosh Lupoi. And I am here for it.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm here for every bit of it.
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Like, honestly, like Tosh Lupoi is one of those guys. I know we talked about it like a bit last week too, how it's like, there's so much hatred if you don't have him, because he's such a good recruiter. He teaches his players to fake injuries. Like, he's, you know, whatever. He's a very hateable guy, but if you have him,
oh, you love
him. He brings 5 stars to your locker room, and I want all of those. Give me all the 5 stars. I don't care how you do it. You're like, you're with Oregon now. Like, promise NIL deals. Give him cash in an envelope. I don't care. Get him in Eugene any way you can. Yes. Thank God Urban Meyer is the most dysfunctional loser in the history of the NFL. Because now Oregon's going to get Tosh. Like, everything works out. I'm like so excited Oregon is going to have Tosh Lupoi. It might not even matter, because I don't know what he's going to coach other than that. He's going to be co-defensive coordinator and what? Because they already have a defensive line coach. Like, he's going to coach linebackers? I don't know.
Recruiting coordinator.
Sure. Co-defensive coordinator, recruiting coordinator.
Did you see the John Wilner tweet when it came out that Oregon was going to hire Adrian Clem from the Steelers?
Yes. Adrian Clem from the Steelers to coach their offensive line. And he had like a show cause with UCLA.
And did you see what the show cause was about?
I did.
Yes.
So he apparently paid for some guys who were already signed with UCLA to work out at a place. He like,
it was like
a couple grand.
$2,000.
Yeah.
And Wilner was like, oh, gotta clear that. No, you don't. It's almost 2022.
Yeah.
No one cares about $2,100 from 2015. John, what year are you in?
Can you imagine making a big deal about $2,000?
He's trying. Oh, gotta clear that with compliance. Do that.
Yeah, I'm sure Oregon's compliance is really going to take a lot of time on that one.
Yeah. Boy, really, really shaking in the boots over $2,100 7 years ago.
It's fantastic.
Dude, get with the times.
So apparently, out of all the people he hired, the biggest one, hey, there's Debo, yard short. The biggest one might be like his job might be something I have never heard of before in college football. And maybe you have. Maybe it's just something I've had a blind spot towards or whatever. But this chief of staff guy that he hired. So he hired Marshall Malchow. Is that how you say it? Marshall
something
Malchow.
Like that.
So he's Oregon football's chief of staff. And he comes from Texas A&M. And before that, Georgia and Washington. Quarterback,
which was a major red flag.
Jesus.
Hey, really? I think Mario's coaching the Niners offensive line.
Fucking shit with the false start. Was that
just
Trent
false
Williams?
Start for no reason?
Was that Trent Williams?
Trent Williams.
I can't be mad at Trent Williams, but
yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
What are you doing?
The
You're
best
killing
position.
Me. You're tearing this family apart. Is it bad? Is it another interception?
Oh, it's going for six. No, it's not.
Okay. So Jimmy just threw his third interception of the game. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, he did not. He didn't.
Okay. Okay. You need to quit fucking with me, man.
Yes, I'm done. It's now, it's white knuckle time.
Oh, it's a bad throw.
It's a bad throw.
He was so open.
He was so open.
Oh, not bad, Jimmy. No. Go home, bad Jimmy. You've been good, Jimmy, for such a long time. That literally was a stat that came out this week. In the last 8 weeks, he has been the best quarterback in the NFL.
Saw like, that, yeah.
Guys, the best quarterback in the NFL. Now he does this.
Now here's a stinker.
So anyway, this Marshall Malchow coming from Texas A&M. I don't know if you've been paying attention to Texas A&M and how well they have been recruiting lately. Number one in the nation. They have been very, very good for a while now. I don't know. They can't turn it into success on the field for some reason, but they do have a lot of really good players all the time. And so I think the most telling thing about this was the tweet about it, like saying that Oregon has hired him. The responses to it from Texas A&M fans. Because we have no clue who this person is. I've never heard of this person. Never heard of the job that he does. I don't know what that is.
He may have been a Wazoo QB. I don't
Texas
know.
A&M fans knew exactly who he was. And they literally called him the bag man. Like, this is the bag man. Like,
let's do it!
Oregon got a bag man. Oregon got the bag man from the top recruiting school
in
the
country.
This
is for you, Willie Lyles!
Bagman.
Yes.
So Lanning so far has gone out and got really good recruiters. I have no idea if they're going to be good coaches. No clue. Yeah,
no idea.
I suspect we might end up hating Dillingham.
I think we will.
I really do. Yep.
Yeah.
But in terms of like putting good players in the locker room, he's leading. He's leading with that. And
yes,
he's done a very good job.
Coaching staff is going to have a lot of good players at the very least.
Yes. Yes. So when Lanning like leaves for the NFL, because that's where you go from here. He's not going to go anywhere else in college, I don't think, unless Kirby Smart goes to the NFL, then Georgia opens up. Then he's definitely going to Georgia because Georgia is a better job than Oregon. But yeah, so I don't know when Tosh Lupoy takes over as Oregon head coach in 3 years. No. No. Yeah. So I don't know. So far, so good. We'll find out.
Yeah. I'm a fan. You know,
yep.
Not a lot of proven stuff, but we've talked about for a couple of weeks, you know, since Mario kind of, you know, we knew he was gone to when he was gone. We see what they're doing. I get it. They are going young recruiters.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Young recruiters. At least get it. I see the vision. See the vision. Some schools, they try and blend stuff so much that it just doesn't really work. Like UW has an offensive genius at head coach who looks like someone who would service your toilet on a Sunday afternoon.
Uh-huh.
It just does. Or drive an ice cream truck. There's really just no, he just looks like one of those guys. But he doesn't coach defense. He doesn't recruit. So, you know, okay, I'm willing to go with my guy, my staff. I get it. I'm fine with it. Don't get me wrong. I have already, you know, bought the domain name to firedillingham.com, but
we just did what I was talking about earlier, where you were talking about Dillingham and the Niners. I was yelling at my TV. Okay, holding on the offense. We're fine. We're fine. No, we're doing fine, guys. We're doing fine.
Totally. Okay.
I hate,
by your facial expression, I was like, did I miss that? Did they not call that?
Well, yeah, like two Niners missed an easy tackle on the sideline and he ran for a first down. Oh yeah, they called a hold against Bosa. He does get held every single play, by the way. I don't know if you've watched
a lot of 49ers. He's better than his brother, right?
Yes. Right now, especially. I think Joey had that 1 year where, you know, he was like MVP, wasn't he? Like defensive MVP or something?
Close.
It could be wrong.
Deep boy, something like that. He was really good.
No, but Bosa, he's
been kind of coasting on that for a while.
Nick Bosa is a beast, man. There's a sack. There we go. Okay, I feel better. Third and long.
What?
What? Don't give me a what? You're ahead of me.
It's an inconsequential one. It's an inconsequential one.
Okay, I like that. Speaking of inconsequential, let's talk about this recruiting class at Oregon.
I don't know any of them.
I will say, in terms of, you know, going into this, what we were sort of expecting, the fact that, you know, the only coach who was on the staff at the time, did they seriously just get an offsides? You fucking morons. And then he completes a deep ball. Fuck
how?
Me.
How?
Fuck me.
They just went for it on like 4th and 23 from their 20.
3rd and 23. It was 3rd and 23.
Oh, so it was the graphic wrong?
It was 3rd and 23. They got the Niners to jump off sides because they're idiots. And then they just throw deep against Ambry Thomas because Ambry Thomas is terrible. And they complete it. Of course they do.
That was rough. That was rough.
Ambry Thomas is bad. He shouldn't be playing. He's like the, you know, fifth string corner, and they've been injured all year. So the recruiting class, I will say, going into this, no expectations whatsoever, because the only guy who was on staff was Lanning when signing day happened.
Yeah.
And so the fact that they were able to get seven guys to send in, you know, signed letters is impressive.
Good for them.
The fact that they were able to get 2 4-stars to send in. Yeah, it's good.
Flip from Texas. Good.
Yeah. Really good.
Zero expectations.
Exactly that. And you should have had zero expectations.
Yes. And that's pretty much across the board.
Yeah.
Because even USC, their recruiting class is like number 80.
Worse. It was worse than Oregon. Yeah.
Yes. And Lincoln Riley is going to turn it around. It's a blip. But
so USC was until they got that 5-star corner. USC got that 5-star corner like 2 days later or whatever.
I don't believe in Southern California 5-star corners. Because I remember Iman Marshall and right now Chris Steele. And I remember, you know, every time they give up a 15-yard pass, they still point and celebrate. I don't believe in Southern California Catholic school quarterbacks, which isn't foolproof. I get it, you know, because Bryce Young just won a Heisman, you know, whatever. Well, if he won a Heisman,
just won a what now?
Heisman.
Wow.
But yeah, Southern California private school quarterbacks and Southern California cornerbacks. Not a big believer.
Yeah. So you say that that is Oregon's best recruit.
I know. He's from San Diego, I think. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's Northern Mexico. That's Northern Mexico.
Mexico. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. We're bringing him in from another country.
Tijuana. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's a Euro.
Yeah. He's from TJ.
Yeah.
So Jahlil Tucker, eighth best player in California, 17th best cornerback in the country. He's the one who flipped, right? Am I wrong? Did he flip?
No. Was it
one of the three stars? I think it was.
It was one. It was like a lineman from, I think, Utah, Bishop Gorman or something.
Yep. You're right. And then Devin Jackson, linebacker, best player in the state of Nebraska, 15th best linebacker in the country. Those are the 2 4 stars. The rest are 3 stars. Who knows if they're going to be good? They're probably not, because Oregon's going to get a whole bunch of, you know, from what we're seeing and what we're hearing, Oregon moving forward will not have classes like this. Like the next signing day is going to be kind of back to the status quo. Of how it has been the last couple of years.
So, they will process out a lot of 3 stars.
Yes. And you know, they're going to lose some guys too. So obviously DJ James entered the transfer portal.
Jason Jones.
Yeah. The defensive tackle. You had,
he announces tomorrow.
You had Wright and Williams opt into the NFL. So, you know, guys are leaving. And it's kind of nature of the beast with a head coach leaving. So I'll say one of the best recruiting jobs that Lanning did was keeping Seven McGee, because Seven McGee went on Twitter, said he was going to transfer. And then like an hour later, he was like, oh yeah, I'm actually going to stay. Never mind. I actually had a chance to talk to the coach. So Seven staying. I mean, Oregon's, that's a thing, man. Like, you know, it seems sort of doom and gloomy. Like, we don't really like Dillingham yet. I don't know. He might be good. Who knows? They didn't get any offensive players. They got like 1 3-star corner, or it's corner, 1 3-star offensive tackle in this signing class. And so it's like, oh my God, their offense, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, pretty much everybody's coming back other than Williams. And, you know, like Forsyth is coming back. You got Dye coming back. You got probably Verdell coming back. You know, a lot of the offensive lines coming back. The tight ends were freshmen last year. They're coming back. So, I mean, you know, Cardwell's coming back. Cardwell was very clear about that this week, too. So their offense should be good if, you know, Dillingham is not, you know, completely awful. I don't know, we'll see. Look, now I got you watching the game. They just get a first down? Yeah, they did. They just get a touchdown? I don't like your face. Your face is doing bad things for me right now. Yeah, a touchdown pass. Yeah. Fucking Julio Jones, too. Of course.
He's been bad all year.
He's been horrible. Julio Jones has been on. Oh, that was Brown. Okay, never mind.
Okay.
Okay, good. Because Julio Jones has been on my fantasy team. Like, he's been on my bench all year. He has either been hurt or has done absolutely nothing when he's played.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, in the offseason, I wanted San Francisco to go after him really bad just because, you know, they never really had a big play wide receiver. And obviously Debo Samuel has been that this year, but I was like, hey, go get him. He's available. Like, make a play, go. And then he has done jack shit. So maybe everybody was right. Maybe Atlanta was right in letting him walk. Right.
What's up with Lenore? Does he play anymore?
Not really.
So they got the NFL got the book on him. He's, I don't know. Good, so in September,
it was weird. So he did play really well to start the season. Like, as soon as Jason Verrett got hurt, Lenore went in and had a couple of really good games, like back to back. And then, so what I heard is that he like made mistakes on special teams and like made mistakes on a few things. And the Niners coaching staff just lost confidence in him, and he lost confidence in himself, I guess. But it's like, I actually traced it to this because I remember thinking about it when it happened. He and his wife had a kid, and he missed that game, and he missed the next game, and he missed the game after that. And I don't think that's why he missed those games. I think he missed the first one because of that. But then the second and the third game, I think he was just like, he lost his spot. Like, which is fucked up because he had been playing really well.
Hey, congrats on the sex.
Yeah, congrats on having
there
sex.
Goes your,
nine
there
months
goes
ago.
Your spot. Yeah.
Yeah, nice job. Yep. Exactly, right? So, you know, I remember like Shanahan said it was like totally excused, like, you know, congratulations to him, blah, blah, blah. But he has not really seen the field since.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, he's, you know, a late round draft pick. So right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Ambry Thomas, they invested like a third round pick in. So that's why he's playing.
Yeah.
I don't really like that strategy because he's getting his ass handed to him on a regular basis. But God, did you watch the Niners Atlanta last week at all?
A little bit.
Like Russell Gage guy, the wide receiver.
Yeah. For,
Jesus, he bodied Thomas on that deep touchdown. Like, and then there was a play on the sideline where Thomas like had perfect position on a deep ball to Kyle Pitts. Should have had an interception, and then somehow Pitts like took the ball away from him and almost got a catch. He got one foot in bounds. It was almost the most incredible catch ever. It's like, guys who should not be playing. That is how you lose games. It was 10-0 at halftime.
It really was.
17-10 now in the fourth. Unbelievable.
The fourth just started.
Jimmy. Good Jimmy. There's so many people like listening to so many people
throw to Kittle and Debo. It's not complicated.
Yeah, right. All 12 of the people listening to this are annoyed by me talking about the 49ers so much.
I don't know. I feel like you've got some 49er fans.
Got some Niners out there. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I've seen the Twitter activity. There's some Niner-ish stuff going on.
Well, then, you know, you can, I should have said this at the start, but you know, sync it to the start of the second half and you can watch along with me. All right, let's wrap it up.
Yeah.
We're not doing picks, obviously. This is where we'd normally do our bowl picks, but no point without Ski. So let's do our list. And I think, let's see, it is like the worst things about the holiday season. Is that what we like fell on? Like the three worst things about like, or overrated things. I think worst things about like holiday season, right? I think that's what we landed on. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to start or me?
You go first.
I will go first. My number three is every single classic Christmas movie. Every single one. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Frosty the Snowman, Charlie Brown, all of them are garbage. Every single one. Like the Grinch is okay. It's like average. It's so overrated. And I actually, the Charlie Brown movies are bad. Like when was the last time you watched one?
Oh, I hate Charlie Brown.
I watched the Thanksgiving one. It was so fucking bad. Like there's no story. It's boring as hell. Like the music is okay. I like music. Everybody likes the music, I think, but man,
did they play anything other than that one song?
That's basically what it is. The Charlie Brown movies are like a vehicle for that jazz pianist to like,
do you remember music. I think it was 2 years ago, you know, I don't, COVID changed time, but when Apple TV bought all the Charlie Brown catalog,
yeah,
no one could, it was the one,
like
was
nobody
the one
could watch
thing,
it.
Yes, right? That backfired on a content company gobbling up content. And finally, they're like, fine, watch The Great Pumpkin on ABC. God, yeah. Go fuck yourself.
The fact that you're mad about this says a lot about you.
So I watched it. That's the last one I watched. It was when they allowed us pores to watch Charlie Brown and the Great Pumpkin on ABC.
Little did we know they were doing everybody a favor by making it impossible to watch because they're so fucking bad.
Yes.
Seriously, name one good classic Christmas movie. Name one. And I'm not talking about like Home Alone or Die Hard or anything like that. I'm talking about like the classic ones.
Yes.
The old ones.
Yeah.
They're fucking terrible. They're not good.
The Grinch might be the best, I guess.
No, I guess.
Well, I will say there's a couple of lines in Rudolph I like, but I want to be a dentist.
No, they got no redeeming qualities for me.
I
cannot stand them.
Rudolph!
Fucking Rudolph, by the way. All he does is get hated on the whole time. Just trying to make Santa happy. All Santa has to do at any point is step in and be like, hey, quit being a douche to my guy with the red nose. Like, just don't be a dick. We have an all-inclusive workplace environment here.
If I remember right, let's
Rudolph get bullied.
I think the first time Rudolph actually flies is when the doe, I can't remember her name, when she kisses him and he's like, she thinks I'm cute.
This is where we need the boing sound
pops
effect.
Off his nose.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm flying.
You're not flying, buddy.
I want to be an dentist.
All right, what's your three?
My number three, and this is kind of old-fashioned and outdated now. Thanks, COVID. I mean that in a good way. Office parties. Absolutely. I don't need your crock pot full of cranberries and malarkey.
It's such a weird thing to do, too. Like, just getting together with everybody you work with in a forced social environment. And usually they're done at the office, too. I mean, if they're done like at a bar or something, that's when, you know, crazy weird stuff happens. But like usually everybody goes to the office. It's like a potluck or something like that. It's weird.
Yeah,
it's just weird. It's weird. I don't want to hang out with these people outside.
No, no one does. No one
does. Fourth and nine. Got a punt now. It's fantastic. It's just fantastic, 49ers. It's just fantastic. King, do you need to get on your bed?
I do need to get on my bed. Baby. Face down.
Wait, that's what she's saying to you?
Progressive.
Yeah, no. We're a very progressive household. All right, my number two is snow.
Yeah, well, bad week.
Yeah, we're about to get a whole bunch of it here, and snow is hella overrated. I like snow for about a day. If I have to go anywhere, luckily I work from home, so I don't have to worry about this right now. But like, if I got to go to work, I live in Eugene, Oregon, where they don't take care of the roads at all. They have two snow plows for the entire area. Like, it's impossible. Like, you're either going into work late or you're not going into work. And then that's bad for everybody involved. So,
Hey, city of Eugene, how do you deal with snow? No, seriously, Eugene, how do you deal with snow? Oh, thanks, government.
Like that, huh? All right. Okay. You're doing a good job. Doing a great job. Well, I get why they don't have more than two snow plows. It doesn't snow here very often. I get it. I get
some salt.
Yeah. Well, like the salt, and apparently the salt they use in regular snow states, like it ruins the road or whatever, and you gotta keep it more. But I'm just saying. Snow's overrated.
My number two is adjacent. It's people saying they like the weather this time of year.
No, you don't.
Oh, you want to know what I really like? I love when it's dark from 10:30 in the morning to 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's raining, and it's
when
six.
When I get off work, I like that it's already super duper dark.
I love it.
No, you don't.
No, you don't.
You can't do anything. Like, once you're done with work, and then you're stuck. You're trapped. You're trapped is what you are. Because of daylight saving time. Fucking farmers, man. It's a conspiracy. My number one, Santa Claus.
Wow.
Uh-huh. I don't like Santa Claus for like a couple of reasons, and they're practical. I've kind of been on board, and there's been a movement, you know, recently more than, you know, the recently more than anything else, that, you know, there's the people who buy lots of presents for their kids and say they're from Santa Claus, and those kids go to school and say, hey, Santa got me a PS5. And then they tell their other friends who didn't get a PS5 from Santa, and their, you know, their other friends like feel shitty and blah, 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 blah. Why doesn't Santa love me? Blah, 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 blah.
That is a peril.
And selfishly, as a parent who buys presents for my kid, I ain't giving credit to Santa. Fuck that. I Santa doesn't work. Like,
what did that fat fuck ever do?
I'm saying Santa, like, I'm the one spending all this money doing all this work for this kid to get these presents. Like, fuck Santa. You know what I'm saying? As soon as there was a hint, you know, by the way, it's just occurring to me that sometimes people might listen to this with their kids, right? Like, we have heard that before. So Santa's great. Santa's fantastic. But I was going to say, like, as soon as there was a hint with my kiddo that like Santa was questioned, I'm into that 1,000%. I was like, oh yeah, yeah. No, I buy that for you. Yeah. Uh-huh. I've always bought that for you. Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. And so she did that, knew that. We had the talk about it. And then she like a year or two afterwards, she's like, you know what? I'm reversing that. I'm going back on it. Like I believe in him again, like all this stuff. And like, no, you can't do that. Sorry. Gets out of the bag. I buy you all this stuff. You're welcome. I'm the best. Third and long. What happens, King? Tell me what happens. Just tell me with your face. I'm sorry. I'm so tired of seeing that face. I'm so tired of seeing that face. Oh, you can't lose this game, man. Like, Tennessee's so beat up and they're playing so bad right now. You can't lose to Tennessee. The good thing is the 49ers play Houston next week. And so that should be a win. And if they beat Houston, that's, you know, probably going to get them into the playoffs because they have tiebreakers over everybody behind them right now. He was wide open. What's your one?
I want to
end the podcast and just be sad about the 49ers.
My number one is about noon on Christmas Day. Because you're just like, well, guess I'm going to watch the Knicks.
Yeah. NBA basketball on Christmas Day is the worst. that should be both.
Get ready to watch the Nets on Christmas. Because it's going to be Speedy Claxton and Darvin Ham.
I don't like watching.
Thank you, COVID.
I don't like watching NBA basketball on the best of days. Like, Christmas Day is a big time no for me. All right. Well, what to look forward to next week? I have no idea. So I guess we'll find out more about Tosh if the Niners are going to get Tosh. They still have some offensive positions to hire, don't they? Like they still have to hire. Like, did they get a wide receiver coach? No,
not yet. No.
Okay, like that's McClendon, right?
Yes.
Okay, so there's talk of McClendon joining. Joining Cristobal in Miami.
He's gone.
That has not been confirmed, but he's pretty much gone. So they still have some pieces to hire on offense. The defense is pretty much set with the exception of Tosh. And so we got that to look forward to. Maybe they'll make some plays next week. Get an interception, Jimmy Ward. All right. I'm going to like throw this mic down and bye, King. Merry Christmas, everybody. And a happy new year. Actually, we're going to see you before next. Okay. All right. Bye.